Guantanamo is the best place to hold these hardened criminals.
According to Saudi officials, Assiri had told the prince that he and other militants wanted...
Yeah, Roman Polanski's story is really interwoven with the Los Angeles story.
It's important for him to talk directly with voting members of the IOC.
Gay as hell.
Things are bad.
Famous Phil Henry show here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where liberals and conservatives and Democrats and Republicans, they come here to die. I mean, they come here to die, man. This is the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And like I said, all the rest of these people, if they're coming here with some prefab political ideology... Do us all a favor and do the honorable thing. Anyway, welcome to the show tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And if you don't know what I mean by the honorable thing, I think they had the honorable thing in For a Few Good Men.
Any Nazi movie.
Yeah, any Nazi movie. Okay, any Nazi movie when the Nazis are losing.
Yeah, basically.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. If you go to philhenryshow.com, you can watch a live streaming video of the show tonight, as you can every night. You can also hear live streaming audio, and you can get the show on demand the next day. So that means you can listen to the show at your leisure, wherever your leisure is, you know, or you can listen to it on your iPod, on your leisure, you can, any number of things that you may have that I haven't even heard about yet. And there's plenty of stuff to talk about tonight. Roman Polanski ain't number one. I mean, we're going to talk about him. And the health care bill, we'll talk about that. And there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. The health care bill is over as far as the public option goes. However, it is alive for next year, the year after, the year after. This will be an ongoing discussion in this country. It ain't dead yet. The good news about the health care bill, and we'll get into it when we talk about it, is that the longer... Frankly, the longer the discussion continues, the smarter people are going to get. And the Tea Party Express is going to run out of gas. Mark my words on that one. First off, we're going to talk about a guy named Trent, what the hell is his name? Trent Franks. He's a Republican congressman from Arizona who had to clarify some remarks he made about Barack Obama the other day. He's a Republican congressman. He called President Obama an enemy of humanity. An enemy of humanity is what he said. Now, who is Trent Franks? I wouldn't know this guy if he dropped dead in front of me. I wouldn't run any faster for a telephone to call 911 if he croaked in front of me or somebody else. That's how well I know this guy. But he's a congressman. He's a pro-life congressman. And like everybody who is pro-life, he reaches for the murder and the Holocaust analogy whenever he can. He reaches for all of those terms that will compare abortion to a Holocaust, to murder, to mass murder. And anybody that supports abortion is an enemy of humanity. Now, why do they do this? Because it's easy, because it's emotional, because it has nothing whatsoever to do with actually arguing the point. It just makes people supposedly feel really ashamed if you say to them, you're an enemy of humanity because you want to kill little tiny itsy bitsy babies. And if it's Obama, it's all the better because Obama is already a very polarizing individual. And so this guy, Franks, like I said, I don't know how long he's been in the United States House of Representatives. I don't know if he's a... It surprised me to hear that Joe Wilson had been around for a long time because I thought Wilson was trying to, you know, get himself a little, you know, just a little bit of play on the nightly news when he jumped up and said, you liar. I don't think he jumped up. I think he might have staggered up. It surprised me to know that the guy had a lot of experience in the U.S. House of Representatives and should have known better. I don't know whether this guy has all that much either, but in any event, using a phrase like an enemy of humanity toward a president of the United States who one day before had been the subject of a poll as to whether people wanted to kill him or not, and who has been called all of these things before because he happens to be a pro-choice president. Now, we've had those kinds of presidents before. We had a guy named Bill Clinton who was pro-choice. And the next Republican president, whoever he is going to be a pro-choice Republican. Believe me. That's not an if. That's not a maybe. That's not a could be. That's an absolute bona fide. It's a guarantee. The next guy that's elected president of the United States that is a Republican is a pro-choice Republican. Why? Because the pro-life votes haven't gotten those guys anywhere but beat. And the fallacy that Sarah Palin somehow helped them get even more votes than they would have ordinarily have gotten, these guys are going to wake up one of these days. They're going to figure it out. But until then, I guess we just have to keep repeating the obvious to them, which is this isn't so much a topic about killing little babies. This is a topic about killing the Republican Party. If that's what you guys want, if that's what your secret desire is, you're well on your way. Believe me. So this guy named Trent Franks called President Obama an enemy of humanity. He said on Tuesday through a spokeswoman that he should have made clear he was referring to the president's policies relative to abortion. Trent Franks of Arizona, well, even if you made it clear that the policies that President Obama pursues relative to abortion are anathema to you, and that makes him an enemy of humanity as far as you're concerned, that still doesn't make it any less of an affront, in my opinion. It's the worst kind of over-the-top hyperbole, the worst kind of you know, dramatics, this baby-killing stuff. Trent Franks of Arizona said in a speech to conservatives on Saturday in St. Louis that given Obama's decision to fund international family planning organizations, and just so you know, the president on January the 23rd signed an executive order reversing a ban that prohibited funding to international family planning groups that provide abortions. You remember that? Well, sooner or later, it's going to be something that a congressman, maybe a guy like Franks, who I never heard of, you never heard of, and I'm sure the people in his district just love the living hell out of him. And I'm sure the people in your district, Congressman Franks, are opposed to the stimulus plan. But as long as they got some money coming your way, how about getting your mitts on as much as possible, huh? For the good people in your district, that is. The name of the policy is referred to as the Mexico City Policy because Reagan introduced it in 1984 in Mexico. Abortion rights groups call it the Global Gag Rule. I don't know what Mexico City policy means. It doesn't make any sense, especially when you throw Reagan into it. Are you talking about a president not allowing this or pursuing an executive order, not allowing the United States to fund international organizations, or a president that is reversing it? Nonetheless, Obama decided to reverse what has been a traditional stand by the U.S. government, and that is to allow money, federal money, to go to overseas organizations, American money, that would provide family planning options and family planning counseling and family planning services, and some of those include abortion. And this guy comes out and he says he's an enemy of humanity. This isn't about abortion, by the way. This is about a responsible member of the United States government, and I'm hearing this far too often, referring to the president in a way that is insightful, hateful, at a time, one day after, for instance, the Facebook poll, but at a time when we need to remember we got a black president, and while I don't buy that threats to Obama are up 400% over the threats to the president, there is an active minority in this country that has been excited to the negative, that is, by a black president being elected, and wouldn't it be a feather in their cap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a president as a target for some people. I get a little tired of supposed elected representatives or members of the government or leaders or whoever or whatever they imagine themselves to be. I get a little weary of some of their statements. It happened when Bush was president, calling the guy a cat that got his kicks watching soldiers get killed, calling the guy a liar, calling the guy a rapist, calling the guy every word in the book, and here is Obama now. And so the Republicans taking a page out of the scumbags that were knocking President Bush, they're doing the same thing. Exact same thing, same mentality, same ability to think a problem through, same ability to see reality. In other words, nothing going on between their ears other than the usual partisanship that borders on insult and disrespect. And if I'm going to say the word, and if it pisses some people off, un-Americanism. Now, here is Franks using this kind of explosive language in this speech he gave. He's talking to conservatives on Saturday. The president is an enemy of humanity. Let's listen to this.
Obama's first act as president of any consequence in the middle of a financial meltdown was to send taxpayers' money overseas to pay for the killing of unborn children in other countries. Now, I got to tell you, a president will do that. There's almost nothing that you should be surprised at after that. We shouldn't be shocked that he does all these other insane things. A president that has lost his way that badly, that has no ability to see the image of God in these little fellow human beings, if he can't do that right, then he has no place in any station of government, and we need to realize that he is an enemy of humanity.
That is an individual who's an ideologue of the worst kind. He shouldn't even be a representative of the United States government, but I guess he is because the people voted him there, and so he's going to sit there and stink the joint up. He is typical of these extreme thinkers when it comes to the so-called pro-life movement. And when I say extreme thinkers, these are jackasses that I apparently believe that every woman that ever okayed an abortion needs to be put to death or put in prison. Now, that's exactly what they believe, because you can't have it both ways. You understand? You understand, you phony baloney? If you think that Obama's an enemy of humanity because he wants little children killed, every single woman that ever okayed an abortion belongs in a prison cell or belongs on an electric chair someplace riding the lightning. You can't dance around that one, man. You phony bastards, all you ever talk about are the doctors that talked them into it. Like, women are the stupidest things that ever walked. I bet you treat your women that way, don't you? Like, they're the dumbest species God ever allowed to live. And you guys are going to show them the way. And you guys are going to tell them it's really about the doctors. And it's really about Obama. And it's really about these other guys, these other men. But the poor women. Here is Paul Begala. Now, this is a guy that's got no call talking about anybody. Begala's the guy that called President Bush a moron, which might have made a lot of people happy. But Begala has a job with CNN now, and now he's upset that people are talking all this crap about Obama.
Where's a Republican going to say this guy is wrong?
But I don't remember an outpouring of Democratic, obsessive behavior when the majority leader of the United States Senate called George W. Bush a liar. I don't remember that.
No.
While the president was overseas to a bunch of high school students. So, I mean, this kind of stuff goes on all the time. And people...
He was a liar. In that he lied.
No, he didn't, Paul.
No, he didn't lie, Paul. Okay? He didn't lie. And he isn't a moron. And I don't know why you're even working in the capacity that you're working in as a quote-unquote broadcaster. You're about the most insufferable bastard I think I've ever seen on that channel, and you talk about a hypocrite, Paul Begala. But nonetheless, the same disrespect that these Republicans and these conservatives and these douchebags that are pro-lifers are dishing out on Obama, the same stuff was used to hit Bush with, and by the same kind of people, the same mentality. Equally stupid, uninformed, ideologic, just right over the line as far as I'm concerned. All right, that's that. I'm not going to spend my whole night on it, but it bothered me because, like I said, one day after a Facebook poll asking if Obama ought to be assassinated, we had the same kind of talk when Bush was president. Somebody, you know, needs to stand up and say something. And I'm not talking about leaders. I mean, you and me. In our private lives, when a friend of yours says that Obama ought to be shot or Obama is somebody bordering on a criminal and needs to be put in a jail cell, or in other words, if there is extreme talk going on, no matter where you are, having to do with one of our leaders, that is clearly the kind of talk one could get arrested for if one carried out the act that they're talking about. I mean, why don't we stand up and say something? I mean, why don't we say something? We. People, you know. And then we got Facebook here. Apparently the guy that developed the poll program has come forward. Whoever put the poll up, we don't know what his name is yet, but apparently the Secret Service does. But a guy named Jesse Farmer developed the actual application that allows you to create a poll. That's the big news on Facebook. In other words, it's no news at all, but we'll give it to you when we come back. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch. Nothing more, nothing less, just what's actually happening. What is it that these people want you to believe, and what is it you should believe? This radio show will tell you what you should believe. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry
know, there are times I think the country is so far away from getting its head out of its ass. When I hear a guy like this guy, Franks, and it isn't just, it's not an abortion question. It's the civility, the intelligence, and the tone and the message, you know, all kind of rolled into one. In other words, you want to make a point about abortion, so you're attacking the President of the United States for being an enemy of humanity. No legitimate reason to be in any government. You're using words that are extremely explosive at a time when we've already talked about how explosive things are. You remember when, I don't know when it was, last week, the week before, a lot of the people on the other side, a lot of the ideologues on the so-called liberal side, like Pelosi and some of them, all of a sudden they were getting upset because of the witch doctor stuff and some of the more hateful things that were said. And they're absolutely right. They should be upset. The problem is that Pelosi and the rest of them were right there in the middle of it when Bush was being called Hitler and Bush was being called a murderer and Bush was being called a criminal. I didn't hear any of them saying anything to mitigate any of that. I mean, so the hypocrisy of these people on both sides, whether it's this guy Franks or whether it's Pelosi or it's Harry Reid or it's anybody that you want to talk about that stinks of the ideology that's murdered this country, all of these people have had a hand in it, right? And I sometimes wonder if this country's ever going to get its head and its ass wired together. Because as long as we got people talking like this, and then the people that are saying don't say anything about it, they got about as much credibility on that particular topic as I have, you know, speaking about the fantastic new regenerative cure for men who are bald that I someday may find someplace. Just hold on, man, and I'll get back to you on it. I'm working on it right now in my garage. Here's a little hint for you. It involves salad dressing.
That's that Dick Van Dyke episode you were watching last night.
All right. What are you people talking about? What I'd like to see is this. Somebody with some kind of a pulpit that people respect. Somebody with a soapbox that people are actually going to want to, you know, let the guy stand on for more than a few minutes before passing out. Saying, hey, how about we all back it off a notch? I get it about your dead babies, okay? Nobody believes you, man. No one believes you really mean that. You don't believe that this is a Holocaust of little babies. That's the thing that pisses us off more than anything else. It isn't so much that you may have a stand that I don't agree with. It's that you use language and imagery that nobody in their right mind believes that you believe. Oh, the little babies, and he's an enemy of humanity. All you're doing is getting people more pissed off. And the more pissed off we get, the more stuff we have to deal with. Like, for instance, nobody's listening to anybody. Somebody may actually get it in their head to try to take a shot at Obama. I'm not saying that violent TV or even violent words causes violence, but I will tell you this much. You get enough crazy people running around, exercised over some stand or philosophy. There's a few people that kind of work their way to the front of the crowd, okay? Otherwise, don't tell me when something happens or somebody says something or there's some other form of unacceptable behavior attacking somebody on your side, don't tell me that somebody needs to do something about it. Someone should tone down the rhetoric. So, you know, people should have a little bit more respect. I can't stand these clowns that come into the House of Representatives. They got 2 years to sit on their ass and do what? Cause a lot of problems? Say anything that they want that comes into their head, no matter how dumb, because there's bound to be 5 or 10 people are going to believe it. This guy, this Franks, man, I think this cat... is probably got a less of a firm grasp on reality than that guy Steve King. And that guy is living in another, he's in another dimension, man. Obama Facebook poll developer comes forward. His name is Jesse Farmer. That doesn't mean that he created the actual Obama poll. That doesn't mean that he's the guy that posted the poll asking if Obama should be killed. He developed the application. He was the one who found the offensive poll and took it off of Facebook, or deleted it at least, from his application that he's developed. And we'll talk about that when we come back. We also have GOP leader Michael Steele getting on top of Obama for taking a trip to see if we can't get the Olympics to Chicago or someplace in 2016. It just never ends. I mean, the chicken crap never ends. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Dial it or not. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, every night here from the El Pacifico, where we bring you a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, okay? Truth is our bitch. And it means that we're not, you know, necessarily aligned with any ideology and like that. I know it's hard to understand. I realize that is a, well, actually, it's a first for radio. I've thought about it. I don't know of anybody that says that they are neither conservative or Republican. I mean, there's a lot of people who say that they're not Republican or Democrat, but they always say they're conservative. They'll always call themselves progressive. That sounds groovy. If you are a Republican or a Democrat, it sounds like you're just some shill. It sounds like you're just some zombie that's sent out by the party apparatchik to spread the news, right? But if you're a progressive or you're a conservative, well, you're an independent thinker. Bull crap. You're about as independent as all those schmucks that belong to the party. And I say that with all due respect. The first step into, by the way, we have the Roman Polanski news. We're going to talk about that. I don't know if it's all that important to people. It seems to be to, well, everything that has to do with showbiz is important to Larry King, so.
Yeah, it's just Myron Larry King. He's talking about a lot of Michael Jackson stuff.
Well, what else is new, man?
Yeah, Larry King is always talking about Michael Jackson. I think Larry King loved Michael Jackson.
Well, sure he loved him. I mean, it's got nothing to do with that. What are you talking about?
I mean, in a way that...
You're talking about a way to make you feel uncomfortable?
Oh, will you get real and grow up? He's all over that Michael Jackson stuff because, I don't know, maybe he knows the family. Maybe he thinks it's a young demo that he's trying to get. Larry, you want to get a younger demo? I got a great idea. Don't try. Anyway, the first step in discerning the source of the Should Obama Be Killed Facebook poll has been taken. Jesse Farmer of a place called Bumble Labs in Palo Alto, California, has given permission for Facebook to reveal that he was the developer, but significantly not the author behind the poll that caused a firestorm of criticism on Monday. Now, the poll, which was removed by Facebook when it was brought to the site's attention, had 730 people participating in it before it was removed. So that's not really a whole hell of a lot of people. But that's not the point. It was on Facebook, and had somebody not grabbed, someone's attention? And I guess it was Farmer who was claiming that he saw it himself because he monitors all of these different applications that he's developed, and either deleted it himself or had Facebook delete it. Farmer's an entrepreneur living in Palo Alto. On his Twitter feed, he declares that he has already talked with the Secret Service, who he endearingly abbreviates as SS. That's sort of inside cutesy kind of conversation. I mean, yeah, the SS taught me, you know. Well, we're real sorry, man. Sorry to intrude, you know, on your groovy world. But, I mean, I don't know, some cat, he's got a poll. He's asking people if they want to kill Obama. I'm sure you understand, Mr. Farmer, that we must ask these questions. Hey, whatever. Okay, well... Just so long as we don't take up too much of your important time developing applications for Facebook. Anyway, he calls him SS. He posted, quote, "The conversation with the SS was fine if the goal was to resolve the issue, plus inform the SS the way it went down was suboptimal," is the way that this smartass put it. Farmer's chat with the Secret Service lasted 15 minutes and being, quote, "friendly," although he won't comment on specifics that were discussed. In an email to CNET, Farmer says he first saw the offending and offensive poll Monday. He says he has a system in place to flag potentially offensive polls that he checks once a day. He checked it. He saw the poll. He deleted it. He says that he knows the Facebook identity of the poll's author, but this information has not yet been released publicly, and it is unknown if either Farmer or Facebook gave the name to the Secret Service. Well, I can guarantee you that they have. I'm sure that you have to make those statements, whoever you are, Mr. CNET writer, Chris Jackball. I can't pronounce his name. M-A-T-Y.
Let me see it.
Don't grab it out of my hand, man.
Let me see it. Machikiki.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Machikiki. M-A-T-S-Y-Z-C. It's one of them Polish names. Matichik or something. Anyway, nice article there, Chris Machikiki. As far as Bud's concerned, that's your name. Now, you can rest assured that he's given the name, or Facebook's given the name. Somebody, whoever's got the name of the guy that put the poll up, they've given it to Facebook. They've given it to the Secret Service. And he probably already has been talked to. So all's well that ends well, right? Mr. Farmer, by the way, you'd be happy to know I have a Facebook page, and you guys are welcome to go over there. But I don't do any of those applications. And for those of you who don't have Facebook or know what we're talking about, Facebook is actually far superior to MySpace because it's not such a meat market. You know, MySpace is like walking into a really filthy, smelly bar. Really nasty-ass bar. That's MySpace. Just a nasty toilet bowl of a place to go in and either promote yourself or your business or, in the case of many people, you know, make a friend. Facebook, on the other hand, has a news feed that everybody takes part in, has a lot of, I guess you could call it, they have a lot of other things to do besides pick up chicks or guys or, you know, post pictures or your favorite music, things like that. I mean, there's all kinds of opinions and there's different, there's different applications, but it seems to be a place that's, I don't know, there's saner people there, you know. They're not quite as bright as the people at Twitter. Twitter is nuts. Twitter is, you go over there and you're dealing with, there's some pretty smart people. John Larroquette, I'm kidding.
Are you that smart?
I'm kidding. Anyway, over at Facebook, you go over there and you post your thoughts and all of that good stuff. Well, they have these different things, like applications is what they call them, but really a better term is, and I believe scientists are now calling it pain in the ass. Maybe you've heard of that. And every now and again, you've been invited to be a member of Sorority Life. Oh, well, that's great. I'm not sure. And because I've got a public page there, a lot of the people that listen to the show or people that are there, they want me to be in whatever it is they're doing, like Mafia Wars is another one. Farmville. Now, what in the hell is Farmville?
That's where you go and try to get animals and stuff.
Yeah, you gotta have enough, get enough animals, and then you win.
Get enough animals? You mean animals?
Yeah.
Well, what's the big deal with that, man? What do you mean Farmville? And then they got one called Fishville, I think, where it's about, it's the stupidest stuff, and I'm sure people dig it. And then they got Mafia Wars, which is jive. And then they have things like, you know, which celebrity are you like, and which jackass are you like, and which rock star are you, and which of this and which of that. So, and a lot of these things can be developed by actual users of Facebook. I don't really do any of that stuff because who the hell's got the time? You know, I'm seriously, if you have enough time to sit around and noodle that crap, I mean, there's something seriously wrong with your life, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And then every now and again, somebody comes up with a poll, you know, don't you think that Facebook sucks? You know, and generally I'll vote yes. And just for fun, because I don't really believe that. And a guy like this comes along with an application. But these cats develop these applications, and then the people that use Facebook do whatever they want with them. Now, occasionally, somebody can actually develop. A friend of mine came up with one called Downey Landmarks. Randy came up with Downey Landmarks because she's from Downey, and she digs Downey, and she knows all the Downey Landmarks, and she's got, like, hundreds of thousands of people checking in all the time on Downey Landmarks.
What's that about?
Downey, man. You know where Downey is. Downey's right down there in...
Yeah, man, it's at the 605... And I know where it is, but what does it mean?
What?
What are you? It's the town, man. I mean, people that come from Downey, they dig Downey, so they know about this bar and that theater and this mall and that street and this store and that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, who knows? I don't know. But, you know, if you got enough time, you can do that stuff. Now, along comes this brain surgeon, whoever he is, not this guy Farmer. He developed the application that allows you to do the poll. But whoever this guy is that was doing this poll, man, if I were you, man, smile when you're using that poll because you got yourself in a serious load of trouble, I think. Unless, of course, the Secret Service has sat you down and told you that if it was up to them, they'd arrest you and throw you into Supermax. But because they're feeling good, they'll just let you go with a warning. And meanwhile, you got to change your shorts, what, about 5-6 times during the interview? To me, that's a just way of going. All right, so that's the Facebook poll as it pertains to President Obama and whether or not you want to kill him. And then, of course, a day later, we're finding out about some comments made this weekend by a guy saying that, you know, that Obama's an enemy of humanity. And, I mean, aren't we just full of all kinds of intelligent and adult behavior? Aren't we just, I mean, we are aiming for the fences these days, man. So typical, though, isn't it? When society is having a difficult time processing a lot of different problems, you can count on all of the idiots, man, to make their way to the front of the line and start screaming and yelling and getting everybody confused. You can always count on the weakest minds making the most noise at the beginning. That's why what I said to you at the beginning of the show, I feel very, very strongly about this. While I understand that the Obama health care plan with the public option as it is dead on arrival this year, and that public option itself may not survive in the form that it is presently constituted, the good news is that this is a conversation that will continue to be had in the country, and the American people are going to, now I'm not trying to tell you what you're thinking out there, but I would be wrong if I didn't tell you what's going to happen, because I guarantee this is going to happen. The American people are going to get more educated on this topic, and the American people are going to become smarter on this topic, and the American people are going to let their elected representatives know, and the Tea Party people are going to become a little bit of a pain in the ass. And I hate to break the news to you, Tea Party people. This time next year, Glenn Beck will have abandoned your ass. He won't have anything to do with you, man. You can invite him to all of your events. He ain't going to go anywhere near you, man, because he knows which side of the bread the butter's on, baby. He ain't about to show up with a whole bunch of jackballs wearing their John Deere baseball caps and their Don Deere baseball caps and stand there, you know, for a photo op for WorldNet Daily or something. Ain't going to happen. O'Reilly, all those guys will have left you guys in the dust. This time next year, mark my words, they will have moved on to something sexier. And I believe this time next year, the debate will have gotten a little bit more intelligent. People are going to be a lot more informed, and we won't be hearing stupid bastards like this guy Frank saying that Obama's an enemy of humanity and Facebook polls and all this socialism and communism and oh my God, oh, where do you keep the underwear, man? I think there goes another pair. All right, coming back, Dan Rather's CBS suit has been dismissed. We actually have some broadcast news for you. They've dismissed the Dan Rather's CBS suit, which means, you know, he was suing because they fired his ass. It's not a bad thought, Dan, but, you know, anybody could have told you. You were swimming upstream on that one. And a radio executive tells a jury that he was unaware of a water drinking contest being held at one of his radio stations. Well, now wait till you hear this one. Because when a radio executive tells you, it ain't my fault, brother, you know exactly where to look. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes, from the shores of El Pacifico across the United States of America, from border to border, man. We don't say sea to shining sea, we say border to border, you know? Because the ocean is the ocean, but border, I don't know why, I just thought I'd come up with that. From border to border, I think border to border is cooler than sea to shining sea, only because of all that mentality about illegals, you know? Not that I've got a real, you know, burning desire to take on that issue. But anyway.
You got a twitch or something, man. You're shaking your damn head.
I don't know. I'm nervous tonight. Dan Rather's expensive attempt at vindication against his former employer, CBS, was repudiated Tuesday by the appellate division of the New York State Supreme Court, which ruled unanimously to dismiss the $70 million lawsuit he brought against the network in 2007. Louis J. Briskman, the general manager for CBS, said of the decision, "The simple answer is the case is over." I'm sure he had some kind of a tone, either that that tone was used in a physical sense or he was thinking that way, you know. The case is over. Mr. Rather's lawyer, Martin R. Gold, said that's nonsense. And then President Obama said of Dan Rather,
he's a jackass,
because the guy should have brought the suit in the first place. Mr. Rather, a longtime anchor of the CBS Evening News, had been seeking damages and a claim that his contract was breached. And here's where it gets, you're never going to win this. You're never, ever going to, if you can say that they fired you and didn't pay you because they'd agreed to a 3 or 4 year deal and they canned your ass and they didn't pay you the money that they agreed to pay you over 4 years, you got a case. You have a case. You got an argument. But anything beyond that, man, unless you've got it spelled out in black and in white, for instance, you don't mess with what I do on the air. Anytime you people come into the newsroom or you memo me about certain things that we do here, you are in violation of this deal. If you got that spelled out in black and white, I mean, right down to the last don't you dare, you got a case there. But other than that, man, you are swimming upstream, Jim. I mean, you are just, you're peeing in the wind. The report stirred a firestorm among Republicans and many of Mr. Rather's enemies, that report on George Bush's, you know, National Guard thing. And they immediately said, aha, there's some political intrigue going on. There's some pressure from Washington to get rid of Rather. No, man, here's what happened. Rather embarrassed the network because the guy did a sloppy job of checking out his story. He had to apologize on the air. If you hadn't have done that, Dan, if you hadn't have come out and said, I'm sorry for being a bonehead, if you hadn't have come out and said something really stupid about the president of CBS saying,
I think that's pretty gay.
If you hadn't done any of those things, you might still have a job. If you hadn't, for instance, have gone on the air and said,
why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
You would have had, you know, you'd be still sitting there, man, with Morley and all the gang. But instead, you bloody fool, you tried to out-drudge Drudge. You tried to out-Breitbart Breitbart. You tried to out-Dumbart Dumbart. And in the end, man, you were the dumbass. Mr. Rather's lawyers had asked the appellate court to reinstate several claims in the suit that had been dismissed by the New York Supreme Court Judge Ira Gamerman. At the same time, CBS asked the judge to dismiss the claims that he had allowed to stand. The case originally included 5 claims. Judge Gamerman had previously dismissed 3 and retained a breach of contract claim and a breach of fiduciary duty claim. Nonetheless, basically what they said was, it's over, man. And when you sue somebody, a former employer, for breach of contract, you've got to make sure it's right there in black and white, see? I'm not saying, and I'm sure as hell not smarter than Dan Rather's lawyers, but I can bet you money that what he was claiming was one of those really gray areas, you know, that maybe they said, you know, Dan Rather is going to be the head of the news division, or he's the news editor, and so on and so forth, and then he gets his ass canned because he didn't vet a story properly, and he says, well, now they breached their contract with me because they are starting to tell me how to do the news. This is the news. Well, no, we're telling you that you're fired because we're moving in a different direction with our news operation, and we don't want your tired old ass around here. It sounds cruel, but it's true, man. That's what happened. Here is Kelly in Phoenix on the Phil Hendry Show. Kelly, what's going on tonight?
Hi. First of all, I wanted to thank you because you stimulated an idea in my mind regarding, you're talking about the way people are disrespecting both Obama and Bush.
Uh-huh.
And the language you mentioned that these people use, really what it does to me is it demonstrates disdain for the very system that they claim that they're trying to perpetuate. You see, the word is eloquence. There is none. It's all, I disagree with you, so I'm going to take you out in the street and I'm going to beat you up with my words, and I'm going to prove to you.
Yeah, that's a good.
Right.
You're right, man. It is like a street fight. Only you are using the verbiage of a street fighter, but you're not actually engaging in the fisticuffs. You're calling names. Yeah, it's engaging in the height of rhetoric, the most extreme kind of rhetoric, not necessarily to make a point, but to just slander and inflame. You know
exactly, and you know, of course, I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels this way. There's a lot of intelligent people in this country, and they don't, when
really?
They communicate the way they communicate, mm-hmm. they're not communicating to appeal to the intelligent people in America. You know, I mean, the intelligent people in America,
well,
look at these.
Even intelligent people need to be entertained. The key, I think, is to, yes, you want to appeal to intelligence, but you also have to do it in as colorful and as attention-grabbing a way as you can so that they will pay attention to you as opposed to the other guy that's talking. But your essential point, very good point, Kelly, and the man's right. We're engaged in a kind of verbal street fighting. We don't have any real style anymore. So you got Frank saying enemy of humanity about Obama. All right, we'll be back with another radio story and Polanski when we come back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah. Phil Hendry.